Hey everybody, this episode of Box Office Breakdown, we're going to be talking about how Black Panther put a wrinkle in Wrinkle in Time's box office win. Let's do it.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Box Office Breakdown.
Ooh, dance party line
of day! Yes. Welcome to Box Office Breakdown. Of course, the show looks back at the box office that was, and then we
prognosticate
about the box office that lie ahead. I'm one of your hosts, Frank Moran.
My name's Carrie Lane.
And I'm Amy Cassandra Martinez.
And I'm Vanilla Plumley.
Amy, are you sure?
Yes. Yeah, I kind of forgot the rest of my name. I thought we were just doing our names for a second.
It's fantastic. Right. And as always, we've got Anthony in the booth.
Mm-hmm. Hello, everybody. How's it going?
Look at that.
Second time winning.
Easy. Hold on, act like you've been there before, Anthony.
My bad.
As always, folks, like us on Facebook, give us those 5 stars on iTunes, subscribe to the YouTube channel, give us some thumbs up while you're there. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, as many as you can. And of course, we're going to have the chat up and running, so feel free to share your thoughts about movies in general or this weekend in particular. But if you're watching after the show stream live, that's right, comment where Carrie is pointing.
Which so many of you do, and we appreciate you spending time and leaving comments.
Ah, yes. We'll jump right into it. Top five for this past week. There was a debate if Wrinkle in Time was going to be able to dethrone Black Panther. That was not the case.
Which, I was reading an article, and right now, this is the first time ever where the first and second box office top are by a person of color. Director.
Yep, first time in history.
Yes, ever.
That this has happened.
Yes. And also, not many times that there's a female director in the top five. So, also, yay!
Look at that.
You see a lot of headlines around being like, oh, Wrinkle in Time stumbles to Black Panther. And a whole bunch of people on Twitter speaking out and being like, nah, dude, it's black person, black director, and everybody else.
Yes,
so
exactly.
It's still a victory. Mm-hmm. No matter how the Hollywood Reporter wants to try and paint it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, I love the, they're like, this is how the title should read. It's like, number one and number two are both by black directors. So it's like, yes.
That ended up pulling in a little over $41 million. A Wrinkle in Time made $33.3 million. It was also the subject of our box office bet.
Yes.
No surprise now who won that.
It was me.
Yeah.
Not in suspense over this.
That's right. And, of course, the loser, we're just going to say it's Amy. Was the loser for that.
That's right. Yay.
It's okay. Because you saw it. Because
I already saw it.
All right. That's right.
And I saw it. Did you see it?
No, I planned to see it today, but they fell apart.
Ah, it's okay.
There you go.
The lady saw it. Yay.
That's all that matters.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and what did you think?
Loser talk first.
You go first.
Okay, well.
Oh, loser talk first. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, I also read the book, so then I'll say it after.
Yeah. All losers speak first.
There are a few parts. There are a lot of parts that I felt needed help.
Okay.
But the really good parts were really, really good. And so I even cried, actually.
Okay.
A little tear. Oh. So, Neil, get ready.
I'm a goner.
Take your
for
tissues.
Sure.
I love the costumes.
Yes.
The makeup. The hair was so nice. It was beautiful to watch. Yeah, Chris Pine really, really brought it.
I'm a fan of the bearded Chris Pine.
Oh. I mean, like, whatever. Chris Pine's Chris Pine, but this role is actually, I mean, I haven't seen him in that many.
It was cool to see him play the kind of absent-minded professor a little bit.
Yeah.
And
dad,
was like, oh, he's a dad now.
The dad. Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
The dad role.
But the beard
for him,
makes him look old.
Yeah. The dad role for him, I thought really, really showed depth to him.
Cool.
And, fan of his now. Before it was just like, whatever, Chris Pine. Another Chris. but he did well. And
I have read the book, so I made sure to read that in time. In time. No, I did want to for this because it is a children's book. So I'm like, okay, I'll get this done quickly. But Ready Player One, I almost want to reread that one, but I'm excited.
I've read it like 4 times.
For Wrinkle in Time, a lot of the complaints, though, because I was curious what some people didn't like the progression of how things happened, but that's how it happens in the book. So then I'm like, well, if you don't like it, then you're not going to like how the book happens. Mm-hmm. Some of those transitions maybe are smoother or they explain it better.
In the book.
Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it. I agree. I think the visuals are stunning. Costume choices were great because in the book, they're generally kind of wearing more rags. The misses, they call them the misses. So that, love that choice of making them visually more interesting. The Zach Galifianakis character is a woman in the book. And his character in the book is just kind of like, it's fine. It's a really short little bit. But I thought it was an improvement in the movie because he's actually comedic. And his character, I like this other article, was saying how he has the best balance, which in the movie, of being whimsical and serious. Like, this is life or death, and but he's still kind of comedic. Like, some of the other characters don't have that as much, but I like that he did. The thing that's most lacking, I find, from the book to the film is the villain and the, like, climax segments are just not as good as the book. Like, they're a little more minimalized and truncated, like,
we're gonna make it. It doesn't.
Not choppy, but more like. There was a longer segment of her battling the villain in the book, like a dialogue argument thing that was so cool. And in the movie, it's there, but it's like, we're gonna abbreviate it. Yeah. So it just wasn't as, like, exciting, I felt. So it was. But they added other exciting parts because the book is, it's not an action adventure. Like, it's like Never Ending Story, because some people are like kind of comparing, is like the adventure kids fantasy. This is a little more like the science nerdy, where it's more like your brain intelligence and logic and talking, not quite like run adventure time. But I do recommend it as a book, and it's really short, so you can read it fast. And the movie's great. Maybe more for children, because it seems the adults are the ones who are like, well, the and you're just like, oh, come on,
like it's worth a watch.
It's still a cool movie.
It's beautiful, so if you don't like anything else about it, you'll love how visually beautiful it is.
Also, the her brother Charles Wallace, because I was curious about this. It is a mixed blended family, which is beautiful to see too, because in the book it's not specifically described that way. And in a interview, lead actress was saying how she didn't imagine that kid looking like her, like the main character. She's vaguely described in the book. I'm like, that was an easy change. And it's cool, so they have mixed, you know, two different race parents. And then the brother's adopted, which I'm like, oh, that's different, and that's not in the book. But that kind of added some new elements to it and made it interesting. So I think they did that great. And then, yeah, you have your hero is a girl who's a science... well, she's not a scientist yet, but into science, and she's biracial, so it's like, yay! I liked all those representation things as well.
That's great.
Nice. I'm excited for you guys to see it.
So yeah, I want to know you guys. I know you. I think you're going to definitely like it. Frank,
I've actually seen it.
Oh, yeah, yay! What'd you see? I mean, what'd you think of it? Sorry.
First off, I got to preface everything by saying it's a kid's movie.
Yeah, it is, it is a children's book, now, also written like 40 years ago. It's in
it's
the
rated
60s.
PG.
Yeah. Okay, so now get ready to lay into the film, Anthony.
Mm-hmm. All right, so I did like the visuals. I liked when, what's her face? What's that? Reese Witherspoon turned into
Mrs. Witch.
She turned into a piece of kale. That was cool.
I thought it was romantic.
In the book, it's a little more like a Pegasus thing, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, I heard they're like dragons or something like that. Like that's their true form, which I thought was cool.
And there's more to it, too.
I liked the character of Wallace. What was his name? Charles Wallace?
Charles Wallace, yep.
Yeah, I love that. They had to say his full name, Charles Wallace, all the time. it was a spectacle, I gotta say. But again, it's like a children's film, a children's film.
Yeah.
But it's also a children's book, which is cool.
Yeah.
But I really like the message that the film has to say. Especially like this film carries impact for those who really need that message in their life.
Mm-hmm.
If they're able to pick up on it, and Phil pointed out to me that that's what the book did when it came out. So it's glad to see another like wave of that same message come out in a more modern medium such as and in an artful medium such as film. And the message is really what made the film for me, because it's such a valuable message overall that that could possibly change a child's life watching the film. And I think that in itself has so much value to it.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Interesting, I think, because I like this. First off, I want to say it is a kids' film, and then you just can went out
to
praise it.
So nice at the end. One quick thing, I'm glad you point out that they say Charles Wallace the whole movie, which is a little strange for most people. You're like, why? In the book, the kid's even more like Carlton Fresh Prince Bel-Air kind of. Like, he's just nerdy, very smart. He's not quite, like, quirky, but, I mean, he's just that, like, professionalism kind of a person all the time that it fits to give him, like, a bigger name for a little kid.
Like,
that
they don't abbreviate it.
Yeah. Exactly what I was
Esquire.
Thinking.
So, like, I just wanted to say that because that was something that somebody was like, why do they keep saying Charles Wallace? Also, side note, don't need to get into it, but somebody I know was pointing out, and I'm like, yeah. The movie does kind of remove some of the religious themes that are in the book. They're not very overt because I read it and I didn't get those as, like, heavily, but they do remove a little bit. So if people are looking for that, they will be like, wait a minute. They pulled out a little bit of stuff. It's one of those, then go read the book. Encourage people to read the book if you want more of that.
All right. Coming to number three, Strangers Pray at Night from Avion of $10.4 million.
Did you see it yet, Tony?
No, I didn't. I wasn't able to see that. I saw A Wrinkle in Time and I saw the other film. I forgot what it was. Oh, I saw Gringo.
Okay. I think Chauncey and Lucretia were talking about it on Twitter and they were kind of like, the people were dumb. Is what I kind of got. And then I'm like, oh, I don't know if I want to watch a horror movie where the people are dumb, because that's the most frustrating thing of a horror movie. So I'll have to ask them. I'll be like,
yeah, I heard that too. Tell me more. You know, whatever.
No, but it's just hard to sit through it when you know they're dumb.
You don't want to see dumb people get killed.
In a horror movie, then I'm just like, oh, no. Horror movies are best when the person tries to do the right thing, tries really hard, and then it just still goes to shit anyways.
Yeah.
It's just when that's people just sad. Do dumb stuff, you're like,
you had it coming.
Yeah. And that makes me want to sing the song. Okay, anyway.
Coming in number four, Red Sparrow from Fox, $8.1 million.
I did want to see that today, and I ran out of time.
Well, you go see it afterwards.
I had to watch Star Trek for tonight.
Yeah,
I'll watch it by next week.
And lastly, The Game Night from Warner Brothers, $7.9 million. Still have to make time to go see that movie.
But you saw Game Night.
I did see Game Night.
Tell us.
It's actually good. Okay. I went in with, like, a sort of zero expectation. Mm-hmm. I don't even remember what the trailer was about, other than they go to a game night, and it's the game night sort of prefaced as, like, one of the people in the game night gets kidnapped, and then they solve these clues. Kind of like a real-world escape room.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens is someone actually gets kidnapped, and they actually have to find them before the kidnappers kill them.
Yeah.
But they, like, don't realize this. So while the person's getting beat up and kidnapped, they're just eating popcorn and chips off the table. Like, wow, this is so realistic. This is crazy. And it's sort of, it's, you know, hilarious in that regard. But, like, honestly, I was kind of, like, it's not an incredible movie, obviously. It's a fine movie. But I was just really surprised at how much I liked it. And the directors, I don't remember their names, but it's a pair of them. They just got greenlit for the Flash movie, Flashpoint.
Hmm.
So if you want a little idea of what they might be able to bring to it,
like,
I say go see Game Night, because there's a couple fight scenes that are pretty ridiculous. There's a long take in a game of keep away that they play through, like, a mansion that's sort of, like, insane. Like, it has no right being that good in that kind of a movie. They use a lot of tilt shift lenses in the cinematography, and just a lot. There's a lot of really cool things in the movie that you can sort of pick out and be like, "Wow, that would actually, you know, work pretty well in a Flashpoint."
Did anybody run really fast? Like Jason Bateman? No.
They didn't. Mm-hmm. But they did do. They did a few, like, some of the cinematography was sort of referential towards different board games and video games.
Oh, cool!
Which is pretty interesting, but, like, casually. So sort of like,
yeah.
Except for the tilt shift, because that obviously makes anything look like a game board, but. Like, in some of the driving scenes, the camera would be positioned behind the car in a way that when the car turned, the camera moved.
So it felt kind of like
a racing game.
That's a smart way to bring game stuff into a game movie.
It's just small little things like that through the movie. And honestly, I had a great time watching it, and I kind of want to watch it again, too.
You're selling it better for me, because I saw the trailer, and I was like... I'll preface, because I don't think Bateman's very funny.
Oh, come on now.
I'll bring you guys back down real quick. It's a fine movie.
It's
fine. I was just surprised by it because I had a zero sum expectation.
It is generally the best way to go. Like, don't know what to expect, and
yeah. Nice. But yeah, I'd recommend it.
Cool.
Well, you know, we just learned.
You also saw Annihilation.
I did see Annihilation. Yeah, I thought that was fantastic. Just real quick before we move on.
Yeah.
I loved that movie. I also didn't really know what to expect going in because the trailer said one thing. But then people coming out of the movie, and some of my friends who saw it were like, oh, you're not high enough to see Annihilation. And so I'm like, is it like trippy? Like, what's the matter with it? So that also sort of levied my expectations a little bit. But yeah, freaking loved it. That movie was just, it was just cool. It was unlike what I'd seen before. And it does get a little bit trippy at the end, for sure. For those of you who haven't seen it, but if you can sort of understand what they're trying to do at the end of the movie, then it makes a lot of sense. But I can understand why it went over a lot of people's heads. Yeah,
real quick, I'm piggybacking off of that. If anyone's seen the Under the Skin, I believe, with Scarlett Johansson, I would put it in the same vein as that film as well. Just it's like great, but it's also very psychological in terms of it's like you're not really sure what's happening. It's definitely a film you can deep dive into it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, look at that, folks. We all just learned a little something there. Mm-hmm. Now, but how about you? Do you also want to learn, have fun, and grow in all areas of your life? For those who do, we've got just the podcast for you. Conversations with Maria Menounos podcast edition is hosted by our AfterBuzz TV founder, Maria Menounos, and drops every Friday on iTunes. Mm-hmm. Conversations with Maria Menounos features celebrity and influencer interviews, along with secrets and tips on how to be better in all aspects of life, from health and wellness to career and relationships, finances, and more. Let our Maria be the big sister you never had. Just go to iTunes and subscribe to Conversations with Maria Menounos for free. Be sure to rate and comment and tell Maria that it was us who got you there. Conversations with Maria Menounos podcast edition. Check it out.
Wow. Okay.
Neil, please check it out.
I'm going
check
to.
It.
Okay. Fantastic. International numbers here, folks. Real quick. Of course, no surprise. Black Panther crushing it. It has crossed $1 billion globally, everybody. Woo! We did it. It happened on Saturday, everybody. Yeah. You'll always remember where you were when Black Panther crossed $1 billion globally.
Did you guys see the meme that was like Tony Stark who's like, welcome to the club, and it has like all the Marvel TV thing and T'Challa's like coming at him, and then it has SAD's Superman and it's like, aww. Justice League, only this much. No offense to DC fans, but it's a really funny meme.
That's funny.
So now, basically, through Sunday, it's got a global total of $1,078,000,000. That's coming off $100 million offshore this past weekend. That was boosted by China's estimated $66.5 million launch. The international box office total right now is $516 million. Mm-hmm. So basically, it is on the charts to pass Captain America Winter Soldier, The Dark Knight, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, The Amazing Spider-Man, The Amazing Spider-Man 2, and X-Men Days of Future Past.
Nice.
Look at that.
Dang. Wow.
And elsewhere in Asia, they also launched, Warner Brothers launched Tomb Raider this past weekend. It got $14.1 million in approximately 3,400 screens in 9 markets. And it's basically 10% above Resident Evil The Final Chapter and 44% above Ghost in the Shell. And more than double last week's Red Sparrow.
Wow.
And Disney's Wrinkle of Time is doing a staggered release, and basically released in 6 material markets and got $6.3 million. So, curious. They went with a staggered release for this one.
Very curious.
Yes. But, folks, we did the box office bet that Anthony so brilliantly won again. I'll be doing it again for this week. As usual, we've got 2 films for your box office vote there in the chat. Love, Simon. A Greg Berlanti film from Fox. And then we've got Tomb Raider, the reimagining of that franchise there from Warner Brothers. Both are coming out this weekend, so feel free to start chiming away in your chat. Let us know which one you want us to vote on for the box office bet. So before we do that, though, and give you our top 5, let's do a little box office rewind. I thought we'd do it instead of just for a particular character or an actor or actress, we would do it just on the genre. So, top 5 video game adaptations.
Oh. Hitman's not on this list.
What? And we've got a couple animated ones in here.
I like that movie.
We're gonna exclude those. So we'll just focus on live action. So coming in at number 5 on this list is Resident Evil Extinction.
Oh,
that made $23 million back in 2007. Mm-hmm. Carrie Lana, Resident Evil.
They're all good.
Franchise. Where does Resident Evil Extinction fall? If you were Power
Rankings. They kind of do blend together after a while. Because right. I marathoned them for the last one that came out. And then I think it's like after 3 when it goes apocalyptic, that's when it really goes crazy. Because like the first one's horror, which is great.
The second one's kind of like a tower movie.
And then they just kind of are crazy over the top action, which is fun if you know, that's something you enjoy. Oh, wait. I'm so sorry. Rewind. I saw Death Wish, which is not on this top list. It's exactly what you get from the trailer. So if that's what you want, you get it. And if not, you're probably not going to like it.
Oh, cool.
All right. Good old Bruce Willis. Yeah,
I thought it was fine. Some good gore, if you want that,
excellent.
Too.
Excellent. I feel like Elizabeth Shue kind of does a Christina Hendricks from the Strangers film.
I haven't seen The Strangers, so I'm like, wait, no. Okay. But yeah, but it's cool. And again, if you see the trailer, right. That's it delivers that.
All right.
Yeah.
There you go. Is he just as fun to watch doing action these days as he was back in his Die Hard prime?
I didn't like this one because there was very little comedy with him doing the comedy. Like, there's one part where he's like, no, I'm happy. And they're like, well, tell that to your face. I was like, that's actually kind of funny because people like you, you know. No, it's just the problem. Probably the biggest problem with it is like the beginning. You already know what's going to happen to his family, but the beginning is like, here's his family and here's how happy they are. Which we're like, well, we all know what's going to happen to them. So you're like, they could have made that shorter because it was nice to establish that relationship or make us care about it. But since you already know like bad stuff is going to happen, you're like, you can speed it up.
Which looked more unusual to you? Really very happy Bruce Willis or really just angry, vengeance
no, I like,
Bruce Willis?
I like more in Red. He's comedic still, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Die Hard. I like the more comedic action with him. Like this, he's far more serious. But I do like that they show him as an unskilled, though the movie technically you could say is a complete advertisement for or against NRA, depending on how you want to look at guns are advertised in the movie. He's totally unskilled to learning how to do it. Like, he gets injured by his own gun because he holds it and the barrel comes back and cuts his hand. But, yeah. And it's Eli Roth, so that's why some of the gore is really fun. Our audience was like, oh, ooh. Side note.
Coming to number four on this list, Warcraft from Universal back in 2016. That was one of the first ones we ever talked about when we took over a box office break.
Yeah, I was like,
oh. Frank. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
Yes.
Actually,
we should find out if Richie Sky ever did see that film.
Oh, yes.
He was supposed to.
I actually enjoyed that film. I know it's terrible, but...
Yeah. Assassin's Creed's not on this list either.
No, didn't make it. Didn't make it that well.
Yeah. It didn't make it.
And I'll Hitman, Assassin's Creed, and I'm like, what's some other bad ones?
Number three, Resident Evil Afterlife, 2010, made $26.6 million.
Mm-hmm.
I assume she gets brought back from death to continue the fight.
It happens,
fight.
And there's
like the
clones and other things.
All
right.
Yeah.
They bring in what's her name? Ada in that one, right? Is it Ada or Ava?
Oh, the blonde.
No. The Asian woman.
Hmm.
What's her name?
Amy knows.
Like I said, they all kind of blend together after like number four. You're like,
she's like an assassin with like a dress and like a slit that goes.
Are you talking about Ada?
Yeah, right?
Yeah,
they bring her in that one, I think.
Number two, Prince of Persia, The Sands of Time.
Ugh. I liked it.
Jerry Bruckheimer joint from 2010. I feel like this is sort of like when Jerry Bruckheimer started seeing his star kind of dwindle. When these started coming out. But that made it a little over $30 million.
It's fun. It was just a
He's
fun
like,
action
I'm
movie.
The king of primetime TV. I just ride the wave of Pirates of the Caribbean. I can do anything, and I won't get it wrong. And then he's like, Prince of Persia.
But casting was questionable on that.
Yeah.
But besides that.
Gyllenhaal.
Yeah.
Gyllenhaal.
No.
Yeah, I feel like he couldn't get Spider-Man. So let's give him a chance to also jump around and do some parkour. And then number one... Surprisingly, we're talking about it as a film coming out this weekend. The first go-around for Lara Croft, Tomb Raider.
Yes!
$47.7 million back in 2001.
I liked both of them.
Pardon?
You
liked both of them?
There's two of them, two Lara Croft movies with Angelina. Which, at that time, I was definitely like, I believe that as a fighter female character of like, she was strong, still had curves, sexy. Then I'm like, yeah, you look like the video game character. Though in Salt, I was like, no, I don't believe you being a fighter whatsoever.
What about Mr. and Mrs. Smith?
Hmm?
Yes, I did believe
Yes, that one too. What were you saying, Tony?
Real quick, just want to do an honorable mention.
Yeah.
One of the best, worst horror, not horror, sorry. It is horrific, though. One of the best, worst video game movies will have to be Mario Brothers.
Oh, I love that movie. No. But it's one of those, like, as a childhood memory, I remember loving it. I don't, I haven't watched it recently. Yeah. But.
I mean, also just go watch anything Uwe Boll has touched in the past.
Well, there's that, too.
15 years.
Rain, right?
Rain also.
Oh, that one's House, that one's House pretty rough.
House of the Dead. Ugh.
Or was, yeah. Was it, like, Blubberella? Didn't she didn't do that as
yeah.
well?
Yeah, totally.
Ooh, Mortal go. Kombat. Yes, Mortal Kombat. Thank you, Jonathan and Jack.
That I came like, in.
That was fun. Yeah, again, for, as a kid, watch it. Yeah, like, Mortal Kombat's fun.
Good old Christopher Lambert.
Yeah.
She's bringing it. That came in at number six. Okay. Top five. Oh, so close. Just missed. Just missed.
But yeah, the old Tomb Raider movies, they're cool. And Angelina, there was some other article that, like, with her, they went for a more, like, edgy... Because they were other females that they were going to pick from, of, like, other leading ladies. And I felt she was totally right for, like, that sassy character. Mm-hmm. They're like, yep.
Yeah, I remember the first one was fine. And I remember the sequel was just being like,
But it's one of those, if you liked it, you liked it, yeah.
Yeah. So, of course, folks, we've got Love, Simon and Tomb Raider vying for your vote in the box office bet. So feel free to keep chumming away in the chat
sure
on those votes.
I saw Tomb Raider win, but I'll make sure that they confirm.
Thank you.
So many Tomb Raiders.
But before we do our box office bet, we're going to just do a quick five rundown of what we see coming in for theaters next week for the top five. Again, Love, Simon's coming out on 2,400 screens. Tomb Raider... 3,600 plus.
Do we think Tomb Raider can top Black Panther? That was a big discussion in the chat. It just depends on how much it's going down. I think Tomb Raider's going to do well. Like, action, leading lady movie is...
I feel like there's a lot of, like, curiosity surrounding this film. I think that's why, like, a lot of people are very, very curious as to what's up with this film. Because the trailer has done enough to, like, for at least personally, entice me.
Yeah.
But still question whether I want to go watch it.
And it's, is that Alicia? It's Alicia Vikander.
Yeah.
She looks great. I think she's a good casting. I know at first I was like, but watching her do some of the stunt stuff, I was like, oh, yeah, I can buy it.
But, you know, part of it to me is like, if you're going to do that, I also consider like your promotional work that you do for it. And they did this thing on Ink Master that airs on Paramount TV. That's a tattoo competition.
Oh, yeah, I love that show.
Yeah, it's one of my favorites. But they do one kind of as a Tomb Raider-inspired tattoos is one of the challenges.
That could have been cool.
And then they just do a cutaway to her. Like, already I stepped down because when they were doing Wolverine, they had actually Hugh Jackman was in there judging that competition, which was awesome. But for this, they just did a cutaway, like, little promo, like, congratulating the winning artist.
Mm-hmm.
And not great. She really kind of phoned it. I was like, come on, come on.
I mean, I think, just for that segment, you felt?
Yeah. Okay. Well, just for her little promotional bit. She didn't interact with anybody. It was just her just standing in a kind of room that kind of looked like a really cool adventurer's study. And then just doing some bad line reading.
Oh, yeah. There was a escape room going around in Los Angeles. Tomb Raider. How was it?
It was really fun. Yay. So I've seen the film. I went to the press conference for it.
What do you think? Can you
say
yet
or no?
Are
you allowed to say?
Not yet.
Not yet.
Not yet. But
when's the embargo come up?
14th, 15th.
Wow. And it comes out
the 16th.
So that does not bode well. Okay.
So, but the escape room was really cool. And I'm going to make a video about it.
Yay!
It was such a fun experience. I'd never done an escape room.
Yay.
So,
So okay. I'm going to say the escape room more fun than watching the movie.
No.
Yeah, that was a yes.
Okay. No, I have say, Alicia is very charismatic.
Cool.
I'm gonna leave it at that. Like, I can't say much.
Yeah,
I understand. But, I understand.
No, that's fair enough.
All right. So, anybody think that it will take number one?
We're all like,
that was a perfectly timed sigh.
Yeah.
Well, Black Panther dropped 38 last week.
I mean, there's been a lot of promotion around it, but I don't know if I'm necessarily excited to see it. I think I probably will, but I'm not like, yeah!
I think it's also...
Black Jones says, Black Panther, Tomb Raider, then Wrinkle in Time, then Love, Simon, and then Strangers.
I mean, I wouldn't discount Love, Simon. I've heard really good things about it. So...
Well, then would you put it maybe number four? I don't think it'll be higher than Wrinkle in Time, per se. I think that's actually not a bad top five there.
I don't know about...
I'll be curious, because I feel like Wrinkle in Time is a lot of parents taking their kids to see this. And then a lot of parents are like, telling their friends, it wasn't that great. And then they're not taking their kids to go see it a second week. Yeah. I don't know if that's the case. Could be. So I could see that dropping down to... I could see Wrinkle in Time even dropping down to three... or four.
So do you think he could be Black Panther, Tomb Raider, then Wrinkle, then Love, Simon?
I could see Black Panther, Tomb Raider, Love, Simon, A Wrinkle in Time.
Yeah.
That's me being very, very pessimistic on A Wrinkle in Time.
No, but also, I mean, we're in spring break time, like full in it. So yeah. I think teenagers and like college students for sure would want to give Love, Simon a try, I think.
What do you think has a better chance of sticking around at the bottom edge of the top five? Strangers Pray at Night or Red Sparrow?
Strangers. I don't think anyone really cared for Red Sparrow.
I mean, it's...
I haven't really heard...
I cared.
I'm sorry. Yes. That's cute. I'm glad.
Anthony will talk your ear off.
Not
you
yet,
you talk to him for 1 second.
I want to see it so bad.
Yeah.
He will talk to you Red Sparrow nonstop.
I think, yeah. I think I'd go with Black Panther, Tomb Raider, Wrinkle in Time, Love, Simon, and then Strangers. Yeah. Hmm.
All right, Neil?
I don't think you had a five.
I think I'm going to go with...
what was your five?
I'll go with Red Sparrow as my five.
Red Sparrow? Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. This is tough.
Well, you're going to be graded on this, Neil.
Right, this is on the final?
Yes,
it is. That just gave me so much stress right now. Please, no.
No more.
So if Panther falls another, like, 40%, that means it's going to drop another, like, 16 million?
Yes.
So but, like, if Tomb Raider makes only 30, you know?
Yeah, if Tomb Raider makes 30, then it'll be number one.
Yeah.
Well, no,
I'm kind of surprised.
Oh, if it drops, I see.
Yeah.
Oh, math. You know, that thing.
So, I don't know. You know what? I think I'm going to say Fork.
All right.
I'm going to say Fork. Okay. I'll put Tomb Raider at number one.
All right.
Oh, look at
Curveball.
That. I like
Do
it.
It.
Yeah. I like it.
I don't want it to be number one, but I think it will be. I think it's just in Black Panther's fifth week. Yeah, I think that might be it.
I like seeing the man with the courage of his convictions right there. yeah, I mean, basically, Tomb Raider, as I mentioned, the first one, 47.7. The sequel did 21.7 when it opened. So
yeah, but it's been some time, and like this would be definitely a new audience wanting that. So
maybe.
Yeah.
All right, so ladies and gentlemen, we've got time to do our box office bet. It seems from what I'm hearing,
also
Tomb Raider.
It was Tomb Raider.
Look at that, Anthony.
All right,
saving the deal. So 3,600 plus screens from Warner Brothers.
Oh, so Harry says women might come out in droves. I don't know. There might be a lot of dudes who want to go watch her as well. Hot babe running around doing things. Yeah. I think it'd be equal diversity in that audience.
Hmm.
And then also, it's like a Black Panther's been out for a while now, so unless people are doing repeat visits, most people have probably gone to see it already.
Yeah, but some people still love that film.
That's true. That's why they go back on repeat visits.
I know. Carrie Lane is one of them.
I haven't gone back for a second time. Yeah.
Oh, the tough one.
All right. Teresa in the chat says 27. Janet Mouse says 35. Ken Jack says 28.
Star Drew.
Courtney
one
says
number.
26. Now you got to pick the one in the middle. Star Drew says, ooh, you picked too big of a scale there, bud.
All right. So, Anthony, you ready to go?
Okay. Sorry about that. Yes, I am. I'm going with my gut, and my gut's telling me this number, and I'm just going to stick with it.
Go
so,
for it.
It's going to be 34 million for me.
All right.
Okay.
I think that's a little generous, but, you know, my gut is feeling generous.
Yeah.
The Neil Plumley.
Coming in at 27.
27.
Ooh. 25.
All right.
34.5.
Oh.
Wow.
I went 28. So look at that.
I'm a high number, but I'm going to see it I'm going to see it tomorrow anyways.
Oh, all right.
I'm going to a special screening thing.
Oh, well,
make sure
Carrie Lane's got
that
hookup.
Media. I'm going to post
Look at her.
Stuff.
Hooray. And Neil, you've got all the accurate numbers written down?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Nobody
all,
else write them down.
They're all here.
Look at that.
All the numbers that we have that we need.
But nobody else write them down. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for this episode of the Box Office Breakdown. Thanks, everybody, for watching and joining into the chat. As always, you can like us on Facebook, give us those 5 stars on iTunes, subscribe to the YouTube channel, throw a bunch of thumbs up there while you can.
Throw them all over the place.
And if you're watching this after we stream live, feel free to comment down below. Carrie Lane's got a question for you. She's going to tell you right now.
I was like, oh, okay. Well, we did talk about video games to movies. What has been your favorite video game to movie, animated or live action?
Cool. All right. And if you want to continue the conversation with any of us, after the show's over. Neil Plumlee, where can people find you?
Great question, Frank. They can find me at places where people are found, at the Neil Plumlee. That's T-H-E-N-E-I-L-P-L-U-M-L-E-Y. Let's have fun, Amy.
Thank you for that, Neil. I am Amy Cassandra Martinez. You can find me on all social media at Amy Cassandra, M-T-Z. Yeah. Also, right Nailed now, thank you.
Oh, boy.
I'm going to jump over to AfterBuzz, and we're going to cover the first three episodes of Jessica Jones.
Oh. Nice. And my name is Carrie Lane. You can find me online at Carrie D. Lane. That's K-A-R-I-D-L-A-N-E. And after this, you can go see me and this dude do Star Trek Discovery and talking about the Mirror Universe. Tomorrow, I'm not doing Marvel because I have some cool job things, so follow me on social media so you can see about it.
She's going to see a special screening of Tomb Raider.
And more. There's more to it. Yeah.
Whoa!
And then Tuesday, tune in for horror movie news on this network, too. And at 4, I'm like, wait, are we in AfterBuzz? Yeah, no, we're in Popcorn Talk. Perfect. You said AfterBuzz. Mm-hmm. Tony's on that one. And then at 6, AfterBuzz Anime Reviews, we're talking about Be the Beginning.
Well, yeah, follow me on Twitter and Instagram at HappyGoJackie, folks. Yeah, there's coming a free-for-all. It's coming to Schmodown, and I had a chance to participate. It's coming out shortly. We'll keep you updated on that. So until then, folks, we'll see you back here next Sunday night with another episode of Box Office Breakdown. Go see some movies.
Go out. Have fun.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.